Hi, everyone. As most of you know, we started this travel from home community to give us all the gift of travel every single day, even if we're stuck at home. And I'm really excited because today we have the chance to chat with someone who has been such a source of inspiration for millions of travelers by doing exactly that for the past 3 years. Nusayar Yassin, who is better known as Nas of Nas Daily. So for those of you not familiar with his story, Nas has traveled the world and created a one-minute video every day for 1,000 straight days. Over 23 million people around the world followed along, and his videos have been watched over 4 billion times. So he's inspired the world with fascinating stories from every corner of the globe, and he never took a day off. And he has spread his message of positivity, gave a voice to some of the world's most important issues, and I believe has had such a positive force on the world as he replaced hate and fear with love and curiosity for so many people who just had
misguided. You're way too nice, Conrad.
So many people had misguided perceptions of other cultures, places, and people. So thank you, though, Nas.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, Nas also has an inspiring personal story as a Palestinian that grew up in a small village in Israel, who then got into Harvard, who then got a six-figure tech job, who then quit that good life to start making the daily videos that we eventually all came to know and love. So yes, without further ado, Nas, it is so good to see you again. And thank you so much for joining us.
Conrad, good to see you again, man. I think the last time we actually met in person was 1,400 days ago, which is roughly 3 years.
You have time flies.
Roughly 2.5 years, something like that. Yeah.
We were talking about pre-show, how you, when you needed a minute, how you have such a good context on time and minutes, but I guess that also applies to days and years for you.
Yeah, I know that. I know how many days I've been with my girlfriend, like total the number of days. It's really cool when you measure things with days instead of months or years. It makes you a lot more specific. It's cool.
Hence the t-shirt.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, we were connected through a mutual friend, Jillian Morris, and then we met up in Cairo, and I was able to show you one of my favorite hidden gems of the city. That it was a neighborhood in Cairo where people live and essentially go out into the city, collect all the trash of the city, bring it back, and manually go through it and recycle it, and are able to do it at a remarkably efficient rate. And so anyways, most people in Cairo don't know about it. Most people have a very negative perception about it because it's just filled with garbage. But as Nas shows in the video, it is a really fascinating community. It is the Coptic Christian neighborhood of Cairo. It's a very warm and hospitable place. So, you know, I got some context on this, you know, showing you around. I got to see it firsthand. But I think one of the things that is just often the most underappreciated of about your story is just how much work and dedication went into doing your daily videos. You know, in this example, you flew in late the night before and then, you know, probably worked over 10 hours to make that 1 minute video. So can you tell us a bit about that and share some of the behind the scenes of a day in your life when you were doing the daily video journey?
Yes. Okay. Let me give a bit of context for those that are unfamiliar with Nas Daily. It's essentially a Facebook page where I make videos. The videos are 1 minute long. They used to be 1 minute long, and I made them every day for 1,000 days from around the world. Some of them were travel. Some of them were stupid. Some of them were about politics. Some of them were about myself. Some of them were about my girlfriend. It doesn't matter what the topic was, but for some reason, people watched. The video is actually, you know, 60 seconds. Actually, it was 70 seconds to 80 seconds, but it's okay. It was 1 minute, more or less. And, that's cool. And a lot of people think it takes 1 minute to make. So a lot of people actually don't necessarily realize how hard video making is, especially, you know, because they think you just take your phone, point it at yourself, talk for 1 minute, and you're done for the day, which is kind of sad. Those videos actually take between 10 to 14 hours per day, from scripting to ideation to editing to shooting to publishing. 10 to 14 hours every single day for 3 years. That was the story of Nas Daily. Never take a weekend off. Never, you know. It was hard, but it's one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'd love to discuss the complexities of that 1 minute constraint. You know, for example, you know, I saw you in when filming this one. Like, there are so many topics related to Cairo's garbage city. There's the discrimination against the Coptics. There's the Cairo trash and pollution problem. There's extreme poverty, inequality, the environment, the entrepreneurial spirit. There's so many. I could go on and on. And you need a feature length documentary at minimum to cover it. When we were together, like, I watched you struggle with that a bit. Like, you're aware, you're very cognizant of the many issues, but you also had to keep focus and choose just one point to talk about that day's video because of the minute. So how did you decide what to cut out?
How'd I choose what to cut out? That's a really good question, because if I tell you go talk about your family for 1 minute, you're like, wait, I can talk about my family for 10 hours. Why? What can I say in a minute? And I think it's important that we try to keep everything short. And I don't know, you know, we're talking today for 1 hour, but ideally we should be talking for 2 minutes. It's all you need. And the reason for that is, you know, the longer something is, the fewer people watch it. That's why academic papers that are super long and super, like, thorough have two viewers, the one who wrote it and the professor, the one who grades it. No one else reads it. And it's like, it's ridiculous, right? So when it comes to the garbage city, for example, you and I go to garbage city, and we know there's a lot of issues in garbage cities. There's a lot of things to cover: the discrimination, the entrepreneurial spirit, the city design, the art piece, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, you know, I need to cut the fat, because the more I talk about Garbage City, the less people will be interested in it. So I need to keep it to the minimum of what am I most interested in, and just laser focus on that. And I believe that laser focus in talking is and in making videos is the reason Nas Daily succeeded. If I made a 10-minute video every day, I don't think it would have succeeded, even though, you know, and a lot of people say, well, some topics need more than 1 minute to discuss. I agree. But I try to take one part of the topic and focus only on that part without touching anything else. So I didn't touch on the discrimination part of the Coptics in Egypt, right? Because that is a completely different theme than talking about Garbage City. Garbage City is not only Coptics. So I think that's part of the reason why we did that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I don't know if this was Mark Twain or one of those many quotes on the internet that gets attributed to him, but I would have wrote a shorter letter, but I didn't have time. You know, you can...
That's cool.
It's a lot harder to narrow it down and be concise.
Like that quote.
With that, like, you know, as you went into that story, like, I think it kind of, it's a good, you know, segue into, like, what is your decision-making criteria for what makes a good story? You know, you get a lot of ideas, you get a lot of introductions when you go to a place, but how do you decide what story you're actually going to film and tell?
Yeah. Okay. So before I answer that, I want to ask a question to the audience in the chat. Yeah. I want to understand exactly why are people watching this? Like, what's your motivation to watch this? What's your self-interest? Because I want to tailor my answers to the audience. Like, if the audience wants to create videos, then I'll tell you about that. If the audience wants to travel, then I'll talk more about travel. So I'd love for you guys to write, what is your motivation for attending this session? Don't say I love your videos and whatnot. No need for that. Just tell me why, what is your self-interest here? When it comes to the videos, I think a lot of people confuse my videos with Lonely Planet. And they confuse my videos with Al Jazeera. And the problem is, I'm not Al Jazeera and I'm not Lonely Planet. I don't have a responsibility to talk about the news every day. And I don't have a responsibility to show you the best beach in Egypt. I don't want to do it. I'm not your travel guide and I'm not your news anchor. It's Nas Daily, right? So I choose whatever the hell I want to make videos about. It's whatever is interesting to me. I have no obligation for someone to tell me, you must make a video about this and I must cover it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the process is very simple. What do I care about? And I make videos about what I care. I care about the garbage city. I don't care, let's say, about a specific pyramid in Egypt. I don't care about that specific. I like the way it looks and I put it in my videos, but I don't care about the specific pyramid. So I never even mentioned it. So those are the reasons, those are the criteria that go in my mind before I launch any video.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful context. And so we know why you, we know what stories you tell, and we you covered why 1 minute, but what inspired you to do it daily? And what inspired, you know, 1,000 videos? Like what was that concept?
Yes. So if I'll tell you what, if you don't have a 9-to-5 job, then you should be working every day. Like it's a very simple process. The reason I did it every day is because I literally had no job. I was literally like on my own trying to figure out what I need to do. Do you think I'm going to take Sunday and Saturday off to just chill and dick around? Like, no way. Because I'm such in a tough spot. I need to work every single day to make sure Nas Daily succeeds, or else I'm just going to have to go back and get another normal job. So that's one of the reasons why I had to do it every day, because I was in an emergency mode. The second reason is momentum, right? If you take one day off, you realize like starting up again on a Monday morning is much harder than starting up again on a Thursday morning. You know, Monday mornings, they say people hate Monday mornings, not because they're Monday, but because you took 2 days off before that, and coming back up to speed is very hard. So the rule of every day essentially says, if you want to do something well, you must do it every day, because you don't want to spend effort on starting up and shutting down, starting up and shutting down, starting up. You always need to be constantly cruising in terms of momentum. And that is why Nas Daily, I believe, succeeded, is because I had that daily pressure. And at some point I stopped thinking about it. It's not, oh, I have to make a video today. It's, I'm making a video today, whether the sun rises or doesn't, I have to make a video. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's very important.
There's something very freeing about that as well, where you removed that decision. So you didn't think about basically getting started. You just got up and got started every single day. So I imagine that also there were times where it was really hard to keep going. When was some of the hardest moments, and how did you push through?
Every third day was really hard. Like, that's normal. So if it's 1,000 days, 330 of them were incredibly, incredibly hard. Look, a lot of people don't know this, but you know, if you're making content about travel, it's really hard to travel. You know, getting on a plane is really hard. Jet lag kills you. Not knowing the lay of the land, that is another difficulty, right? I remember I was in Myanmar. So, you know, Nas Daily wasn't much of a success yet. And then I want to say, hey, I'm going to go make videos in Myanmar. Sounds interesting. Then I land in Myanmar. I realize I know nobody in this damn place. I know nobody. And I check into a hostel because they didn't have much money. And I check into the hostel and I'm like, okay, now what? And then you get sick. Then I got tired. Then it was 4 p.m. Then I clinically became sick. And then I was pretty much dead. So that was day 250 or something. So it's been, you know, 250 days of this crap. And now you're in Myanmar by yourself, sick, don't know what to do. And so the hardest thing really is the first day when you land in a country, because you must familiarize yourself with the country faster than you ever had to. You land at 1 p.m., you got to know everything about this country by 2 p.m. because you got to make a video by 6 p.m. because you got to launch it by 9 a.m. the next day. And that, for me, was probably the most difficult element of Nas Daily.
Yeah. It's. I mean, that's something, you know, we talked about earlier about how many hours it takes. Like, that, you know, that doesn't even factor in that you are on a plane so often and then you're jet lagged, no, and you're sick.
That's why you have to travel. If you, let's say if I'm going to San Francisco, I have to travel at night. So one trick I would always do is I would always fly at night, never during the day. During the day is bad news, because you're losing daylight and you can't make a video during the day.
Yeah. So how did you familiarize yourself so quickly with the place? Like, I imagine most of it is, you know, you're reaching out to people ahead of time. Like, that's how we got connected. But
yes.
You know, in that example, like, what are you, what are you doing to learn about a place and learn the interesting stories? Because I imagine you can't Google the kind of stories you cover.
Yeah, so this is why I think a lot of people here will disagree with me, because a lot of people think, and I also agree with that, you need, you know, a week or so or a month or so to really know the country, really know the lay of the land. But it's just, that's just inefficient when it comes to Nas Daily. You must get to know the lay of the land within a day. So actually the first thing I would do, and this is true, is I would read every single word in the country Wikipedia page. So you know, say I arrived to Malta, I would open up the Wikipedia page, I'd read every single thing on the plane to know exactly what is Malta. GDP stuff, economy, population, religious percentages of different religious sects. From all this information, from all these data points, I would see what sticks out. So for example, assume like I land in Senegal, okay? And I know that Senegal is a predominantly a Muslim nation, but then I read the Wikipedia and I see that prostitution is legal and 20% of it or 10% of it is Christian and they celebrate Christmas in Senegal. Boom, that's my video idea, done. You know, I ask the locals, confirm with the locals, is this true? Yes, then bam, like Grenada. I was in Grenada 2 months ago before all this stuff, Grenada in the Caribbean. And I struggled really hard with Grenada because I didn't know exactly what is unique about Grenada, because my videos are essentially about what is unique. And so as I read all the Wikipedia pages, the last sentence was, Grenada is one of very few countries with no army. And I was like, that's it. That's the one. That is the video idea. The country with no army. I come from Israel, the country with the most militarized country. I live in Singapore, another militarized country. I studied in the U.S., another militarized country. In my entire life, I've only been to militarized countries. And for the first time ever, I'm in a country with no army. That's amazing. Therefore, that's the video. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just keeping your curiosity constantly flowing and just whatever spikes your interest. So, you know, you have the 36%. You had mentioned you're now 37%. So I'd love to like rewind a little bit back to, you know, maybe, you know, the early 30s or late 20% points. But, you know, I've heard you share about how you had a very low self-esteem before you started. And you spoke about how your confidence and, you know, the way you look or your race or your religion were all things that pushed you.
Look at my face.
I think it's
beautiful. Not as beautiful as yours, Conrad.
I think it's beautiful.
That's a lie.
you had talked about how like that pushed you to want to hide behind the computer. And you know, how did you push that past that enough to get in front of the camera for the first place? And then how did you eventually overcome it where it was no longer an issue for you?
That's a very good question. I think, you know, a lot of people think Nas Daily is love motivated. They think I'm motivated by positivity, that I'm motivated by love, compassion, humanity. It's incorrect. I'm sorry, but it's entirely fake news. Nas Daily, the project of Nas Daily is motivated by anger. I'm very anger motivated. So essentially what ended up happening is like, look, you know, you grow up and it's tough. Many people may not relate to this, because I saw a lot of people here are from Western countries and it's okay, you know, but if you grew up in like the Middle East, if you grew up in Asia, if you grew up in Africa, and that you know, that's where I grew up in the Middle East, you kind of realize you're on the fringes of society. You kind of don't matter. You know, what matters is London. What matters is New York. What matters is the US. And I'm like, why the hell does the US matter, right? It's 5% of the world's population, but it commands 70% of the attention of the world. And I'm like Bangladesh is one of the biggest countries in the world. Bangladesh is as big as the United States, but nobody speaks about it. And similarly, nobody speaks about my village in Israel because we're not Jewish. So it's one of those things where I'm like, God damn it, you know, like it's annoying how people that look like me don't end up getting the attention that they deserve in terms of their voice. They don't get the same voice as someone that lives in Connecticut and, you know, has a hedge fund. You know, it's just inequality in the world in terms of media as well. And that is the reason I got angry. So I was insecure because obviously you look at Hollywood and we look nothing like Brad Pitt. Maybe you look a little bit better than Brad Pitt, but most of us look nothing like Brad. Most of us are not blonde. Most of us are not white. And how do we get there? How do we get our voice heard? I tried with technology. So I was a software engineer before. It was good. I think it's still good, but it didn't quite work out. I didn't get the result I wanted. And that's when I went to making videos. It's not out of the desire for fame. Social media, a lot of people go to social media because they want to be famous. People that look like me don't dream of fame. So it really wasn't the fame that was the motivating, it was the anger. And that's why you see me screaming in all my videos. This is amazing. You know, it's like you really fucking gotta pay attention because this is amazing, you know? So this is why.
I remember to what you're saying, you were exhausted and you were filming all day, and we were in Cairo, which is a very draining city. And I remember at one point you turned and you said, I just one day want to say, hi, welcome to Cairo's garbage city, as opposed to screaming at the camera. I always thought that was funny. But that's fascinating, because I imagine most people would, most people would see the love and the positivity that you put into all the videos. So what advice would you have for someone who, you know, is someone who's younger, who is struggling with some of the same kind of early insecurities, but still wants to get their voice heard and make their impact on the world?
Interesting. Look, there's some things worked for me. Maybe they'll work for you. What worked for me, and I don't want to know, I don't exactly know the situation of these people. What worked for me is I felt like plugging into existing structures doesn't allow you to succeed as much. So if you plug into a corporate structure at Intel, you cannot be Intel CEO within a year. That's impossible. You need 30 years. The corporate ladder is pretty much clear. If you go into a grad school, you know, you cannot graduate within a month. You cannot have it your way. You must go by the educational ladder as well. So that's why my advice to people who are struggling with getting heard is either one, join a startup, like work at a startup, because in startups, you have a much higher ability to be heard rather than at a corporate, big corporate. Or two, create your own job and make more videos. So if you make videos and you put them on the internet, most of the time you will fail, but there's that 1% chance that you may succeed. And for me, that 1% made all the difference. So those really are the two options, I think, if someone is struggling with the way society is built.
That's great. And just because I see a lot of people, I think we're covering a lot of the topics that people are putting in there, in the comments. But one of the things that I am seeing a lot is, there are a lot of bloggers and Instagrammers and YouTube out there that want to make a real business out of their travel. Once it's safe to do so, of course. So what advice do you have for them in terms of creating content, building an audience, and making a living out of it?
For COVID-19 related stuff, or just like,
let's just say pass it. Yeah. Assume past this. Yeah.
How do you make money out of this? That is a really good question. How do you make money out of blogging? You should know, Conrad.
Well, I would say before it's making money, because I think the money part is easier once the audience is there. But even just like creating content, building, and I mean, I think you touched on the creating content. It's just do it every single day. Find your unique voice and don't take days off. But you know, in terms of then translating that into an audience and making a living and all that. Yeah, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts.
Right. So the way I like to think about it is money is a guaranteed side effect in social media. It's guaranteed to come. The only thing you need is the attention. So if you have the attention of a million people, guaranteed one of these people, not two, just one of these million people has a lot of money or is a decision maker at a company who's going to want to hire you to do some videos for them or do some travel for them and whatnot. So what I noticed is a lot of bloggers begin, they get 500 followers and whatnot, and immediately they start indexing for money. Immediately. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now it's time to make money for my 500 followers. And like, bro, you're way too early, you know, like find different ways to make money than your 500 followers. So for me, you know, even now I'm struggling to make money. And we have across Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, there's like 23.7 million people who follow Nas Daily. Nas Daily in Vietnam, Nas Daily in the Middle East, Nas Daily in English, Nas Daily in Arabic. And even with 23 million followers, I'm struggling to actually want to monetize. But if you want to monetize, you should probably do it after you hit a million. So once you have the attention of a million, money will come. And the way it will come is not by you holding a Coca-Cola and say, hey, buy Coca-Cola. I think a lot of people should be, framing themselves not as a traveler per se, but as a personality. And I think the difference between them is very, very important. If you're just a guy that I give money to go say a couple of nice things about a hotel, it's nice, but there's a ceiling to this. There's a very, very short ceiling. But if you're the guy that sort of creates content and tells the story of the hotel owner or the story of the hotel employee, or that can tell complicated stories in very simple words, then you become a lot more valuable for a business because you can tell the story of a business rather than just be an extra extra hotel reviewer. So I would highly advise people to sort of step away a little bit from reviewing hotels and more into reviewing humans or telling the stories of humans. I think that has a higher potential of virality and higher potential of a real attention generator and money generator to cover your costs. To go a bit more into the specifics, the way I make money is the first 4 million followers I had, I didn't make much money from them. I didn't want to. That's when Facebook ads kicked in. So Facebook ads became a source of revenue. It was generating 5 to 10K a month or so. And so that was the sort of the first thing that pushed Nas Daily forward is the Facebook ads. And then every month or so, you start getting speaking engagements and then you charge for those. And those are separate from the channel. See, so that you don't actually monetize your followers. Then you get a company that says, help me make videos about this. Then you get a tourism board that says, make video about my country. And then those sources of revenue, it goes from being $1,000 for a gig to $5,000 per gig to $10,000 per gig to $100,000 per gig. So it just becomes really exponential by itself. And people need to look out for that.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I think what's a core takeaway of that is start very genuine and authentically and don't think like focus on the craft, not the money. And then also, you know, I think what's core to what you've done is it doesn't matter if you're doing the same thing everyone else. There are a million people on Instagram taking a beautiful photo sitting by a pool.
Crazy.
You have to be different. You don't even have to be better. You just have to be different and have your unique perspective. Yeah. Yes. So you touched on tourism boards, and that's something that's been on my mind a lot lately. And I've, you know, every guest we've had, I've talked about this. But yeah, I know you've done videos on over tourism and you talk about a lot of these issues. And you know, I think it's fascinating how travel, I'm sure we both agree, is a force for good. There's so much good that comes out of it. But there's also been a lot of negative side effects, like over tourism or the effects of flash tourism, a lot of that. And we've never had a complete global pause and like ability to hit the reset button like we do now. So, you know, I'm curious, like having traveled so much and tell so many stories and getting to know so many destinations, you know, what are your hopes? And what is your advice to both, you know, the travel industry and just the travel community at large on when we do eventually get back to travel, like how we get it right and how we both, you know, maximize our own experience, but also preserve the destinations that we love for generations to come?
Stay away from Barcelona. That's my advice. Stay away from London. Stay away from the classic tourism spots. I mean, look, the reason we get over tourism, why is the reason for that? The reason for that is because most of the media, most of Instagram, most of travel people, most of everybody focuses on 5 to 10 locations in the world. And then everybody just goes to these 5 to 10 locations. That's the cause of over-tourism. It's not you know, I'll tell you what, there was no over-tourism in Papua New Guinea. That is a fact. Why? Because nobody cares to go visit Papua New Guinea. So my advice to content creators is just stop creating content about what already exists. Everybody knows how London looks like. There is nothing I could make about London that's different. Nothing. Everybody knows how New York looks like. Just watch a movie. So I think it's our responsibility to highlight and make interesting the small places like Ecuador, for example, is interesting. It's not as big as Barcelona. Sri Lanka is interesting. Papua New Guinea, you know, those places don't get as much attention, but I feel like we should equally distribute the media so that tourism is equally distributed as well, so that not one place becomes the hottest new thing. And again, this is wishful thinking. I don't think that's how the internet works. The internet is all about huddle and then go in. But we can try at least to make people want to visit Armenia and not Spain. And that should theoretically fix the problem. Theoretically.
You're speaking music to my ears. And I think Papua New Guinea was perhaps one of the most fascinating travel experiences yes. I've had. I mean, the Trip Scout might not be here if it wasn't for Papua New Guinea, because Andy and I, we've been friends for, you know, over a dozen years. And one of the things we originally bonded over was the fact that we both wanted to visit Papua New Guinea. So one of our first company offsites, it was the two of us. So we flew to Papua New Guinea and took a boat down the Sepik River, which was,
wow, that's cool.
An incredible, I mean, it was like a little like motorized canoe, and just went, you know, exploring different little towns along the river.
Fascinating country. Fascinating.
Amazing place. Good advice. So I am curious, what was it like emotionally when you finished that 1,000-day journey? What did the next day feel like, or the next month? You always hear about, you know, people that finally complete these big goals and big projects. Like, tell us, like, what was going on in your head afterwards?
I think a lot, you know, it's so funny. From the outside, if you look at people from the outside, it looks like they have their shit together. You know, it looks like, damn, you know, LeBron James, you know, just retired or whatever, and now he's so happy. I doubt that is true. I think the truth is, every time someone finishes a big project, they get into some form of minor depression, you know, mm-hmm. slight depression of like, I don't know what to do next. And a lot of people don't know what to do next. And I was one of them. So the first thing I did after I finished my 1,000-day journey, I started writing the book. So I took a month off from life. I went to the Maldives to celebrate. And I wrote a book called Around the World in 60 Seconds. And the whole point of the book is to put into text form, into writing form, exactly what that 1,000-day journey was, so that I can read it and people can read it in the next 100 years or so. So that was very important to me. The book is out and it's great. And then after the book was out the window, I wanted to, the next thing for me was, Nas Daily is an individual. Like, it's my face, right? If I don't work for one day, whole Nas Daily just doesn't work. And I kind of wasn't happy with that. I didn't want to be an accountant, right? An accountant is essentially, the minute you stop doing accounting, you're not an accountant. You know, if you take 1 year off from accounting, that's it. So it's a service-based business. And so is content creation. Making videos is a service-based business, which the minute you stop traveling and making videos, everything you've built stops. And I didn't like that. So the goal, what's next for Nas Daily, is how do I go from an individual to an institution? Nas Daily the individual to become Nas Daily the institution. I have Mickey Mouse, but now I want to build Walt Disney. And that is the goal of the next year, or the next 10, 20, 30 years, is I want Nas Daily to be known as a media play, as a media company that can create media any country in the world, with any talent in the world, with any face in the world, and can change public opinion for the better while remaining sustainable. So I want to move away from, this is a nice beach, you should come, to how can we push out a campaign for 10 million people and change their opinion about a certain topic and do it sustainably. And I think that is a lot more exciting challenge right now.
Yeah, well, you did launch a company, what seems recently, with NOS Studios, and you seem like you've armed yourself, built an army of really amazing creators who I've loved following as well. What's the vision behind that? Is it to build a media company or to build a big marketing agency? What are you thinking?
Look, I think. People should ask themselves, how does war start, or how do people start wars, or how do people die, or how do people how do bad things happen in the world? It's really not because of luck. It's because of media. Like, media is so powerful. It can start a war. It can start civil unrest. It can get people excited. It can get people depressed. Media is a very powerful thing. So what we will stay in is, look, we're going to stay in media because this power is amazing. If I can go to you right now and I say, I can tell the story of this country using 20 content creators, and I can get more people to come visit, or I can get people to sort of stereotype this less in the millions, you'll start listening, right? And I can come to you and say, internally, I can make your citizens sort of appreciate this or that, or I can make your customers appreciate your company for more than that's incredible power. So what's next for me is I want to build up more on that power. I believe there's two things I believe in, and these may be a little bit controversial, but content creators and travel influencers, I think at the end of the day, it's cute. It's cute. It's nothing more than that. What I was doing is cute in the sense that, there's no point. Like, real power comes when you have people's attention and when you have money. So a lot of people have money, but they don't have people's attention. That's why even billionaires cannot win elections, because they cannot buy themselves to win elections. A lot of people have attention, like content creators on Facebook, but they don't have the money to actually do anything with it. So when you have both those two things, you become a two-legged person. You become powerful. And so if you have 100 million people listening to you and you have $100 million, the things you can do with this are limitless. But if you're just entertaining people for the next 10 years or so and making them laugh or whatever, the power of that is kind of is limited. There's only so much Jerry Seinfeld could do, and he's Jerry fucking Seinfeld, but there's only so much power he has when it comes to the grand scheme of things. So I think really NOS Daily is not meant to be a travel blog. It's really meant to be something that it's events, venting my anger. It's I want to further my own agenda through NOS Daily, and I'll spend the next 40 years doing that.
That's amazing. You're spot on. I mean, that is why in every single, coup, the first thing people do is take over the national media.
Yeah, right? Amazing.
So I want to get to that agenda next, but I just want to remind everyone, I'm almost done. And so it's about time where I shut up and we ask your questions. So make sure you drop them in the Q&A. And if someone asks, someone has already asked something you want to ask, upvote it so you make sure it gets to the top. I see a lot of questions also getting dropped into the chat, so make sure you put them in the Q&A so Andy doesn't miss that. So anyways, back to the agenda. When you reflect on that whole journey that you've been on, and I imagine it was such a hectic pace, where you were traveling and filming and editing and finding stories and then repeating and repeating over and over again. Like, it probably wasn't until, even now that you are able to properly pause and reflect and really learn and see what you've gotten out of all of those experiences. I mean, you told 1,000 stories, you traveled to dozens of countries, you had millions of people follow you, you met tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, and, from the world's poorest to billionaires and world leaders. So I am curious, as you're shaping that agenda, what truths or what lessons did you take away from all of that has shaped your view on your life and your work?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. The one takeaway I got from traveling to all these countries and meeting these people in Papua New Guinea or meeting the president of Taiwan or whatever it is that humans are boring. And that's the truth. That we are so boringly similar. It's insane, right? Like 99% of what you want to do as a human, Conrad, is exactly the same of what a president of a country wants to do. It's exactly the same of what a farmer in Papua New Guinea wants to do. 99% of our aspirations are the same. You want to have a kid? Great. The farmer wants to have a kid too. You want to be happy? Great. Same thing. You want to eat 3 times a day? They do the same thing. Everyone is so boringly similar. And I think that's a great thing because in reality, we think a Papua New Guinea guy is 90% different than me because they're primitive. But in reality, they're 99% similar. And my job is I want to make you appreciate them by focusing on that 1% uniqueness that they have. Oh, in this country, they eat like this, not like this. Super cool. You know, or this country does this with their trash, not like this. Super cool. But at the end of the day, these are 1% differences that we're focusing on just to make you appreciate our differences. But at the end of the day, we are so the same. It's insane. And I have like data to prove that, right? I landed in Malta. You have 300 locals come and you talk to 300 locals at the same time. And then they tell you the same thing they say in Brazil, the same thing they say in Singapore. Everybody says, make a video about Brazil. We are always late. And I'm like, that's cute. But every country says the same thing. Make a video about Malta. We are always late. It's called Malta time. It's called Brazil time. And it's like, no, it's called human time. You know, it's so identical. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying, we're also 99% identical probably to a fruit fly as well. You know,
yes. To a chimpanzee, we're 99% the same. Yes. That's so true.
Yeah. So anyways, well, I'm going to turn it over to Andy, but first, you know, Naz, I just want to say thanks for coming on here and, but also thank you so much for the work you do. You worked your ass off to share so many incredible stories with us. And I know it wasn't always easy, but it gave millions of people the courage and inspiration to go to new places, to meet new people, to start new creative projects, and to live more interesting, personally authentic lives. So, you know, I personally, I believe you made every person who has seen your video, one of your videos, a little bit more curious and maybe a little bit more compassionate and a little bit more determined to make their positive dent in the universe. And that certainly has made the world a better place for us all to live. So we see all your hard work. We appreciate it. We learn from it. We're entertained by it. We can't wait to see you build this media army and empire. And
But I do want to say this, Connor. Before I finish, I want to say this. I think a lot of people need to realize they need to find their own Conrad. Because I don't think you realize it, Conrad. But when you reached out to me in day 620 or whatever, you've helped me build Naz Daily, right? And that was 600 even was before Naz Daily really blew up. So you reaching out to say, hey, I want your video, you know, and I want to help you make a video in Egypt. And I want to give you my car. I want to give you my time. I want to give you my patience. Like, I want to say thank you for that because you were literally helped. You were there for one day, but you've actually helped me in more ways than one. And I think for anyone that's trying to create content is you're going to find your own Conrad at day 5 or day 10. You're going to find someone that says, I want to support you for no money, for nothing. And I'm going to make your project better. And for that, for what you did on that day, Conrad, I want to say thank you for helping further the Naz Daily mission.
Well, it was my pleasure. It was a blast. Andy, you want to take it away?
Sure. Yeah, no, so we have, there's some really good questions in here, and there are some of them about travel, some of them are about, you know, producing content, so I'm just going to be all over the place.
Is it rapid fire or is it normal questioning?
Normal pace. Some of these will have rapid fire answers, but so you said something that I think is super true that actually is worth digging into, is you kind of mentioned the two-legged beast of having both money and attention, and you know, pre-social media and old media, you couldn't really break in. But now with social media, you can have no attention, no money, and use the platform to get both. And so for people that don't have money, the first route is to get attention. So have you found anything in terms of how to kind of hack the graphs and the platforms to try to get more reach early on when, frankly, you are nobody, to get you to that attention tier that you need to get to?
It's essentially asking, how do you get viral?
Or in so many ways, too. It's like, how do you build attention from nothing? And, I mean, that's what everybody has to do. You know, unless you're a Jenner, you don't start with, you know, you don't start with a billion.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this. Before I started Nas Daily, I was really bad at telling jokes. So I would go to my friend and say, I have this amazing joke to tell you. And then I say it and say it, and then I fail at the punchline. I didn't know how to make it a funny joke. Because the thing, if you tell a joke, you need to be an amazing storyteller. Set it up right, go up to the climax, and then bam, punchline, make them laugh. And then that's it, right? So telling a joke is very, very hard. And I was really bad at telling jokes, which means I was really bad at telling stories. So my first thing to tell, just tell someone is, you should be really good with your words, right? Like, you know, like speak in a way that makes people listen. Not necessarily to make them laugh, but really be a good storyteller, right? And I think when you tell a good story, like if you make me think with your words, or if you make me laugh with your words, or if you make me cry, that's it, you'll get my attention. If you can evoke an emotion in me, you'll get my attention. So the first thing is, don't ask, oh, how do I go viral on Facebook? How do I go viral on YouTube? You know, there's all these questions you can ask yourself later. The first thing you ask yourself, how can I make someone care? And if you can make someone care, you win the world. And that's really, really difficult. So don't do the traditional stuff. A lot of people think, if I want to make you care, I'll say, by the way, in the country of Congo, 30% live under the... People don't care. People don't care. You need to find a unique way to get people to care. Don't ask for my donations. Don't ask for my sympathy. Make me care without doing that. And I think that becomes very powerful.
Yeah, I'm gonna rapid fire off of that though real quick. Do you have any practical tips? And I think this is also such an interesting time where the way that we're all traveling right now, a lot of it is telling stories. So yeah. Do you have any very practical, literal tips that anybody who's watching this right now can do to actually make their words more listenable?
Put your words on Facebook. Don't put them on YouTube. YouTube has achieved the dream of 10 YouTubers, but it has killed the dream of a million YouTubers. YouTube killed more dreams than it built. Because a lot of people think, I'm going to go on YouTube and it's going to be a success. No. Take your words, put them on Facebook. It has a higher chance of virality. Or TikTok. It has a higher chance of reaching people. Second of all, stop taking pictures. Pictures don't go viral. Pictures cannot tell a story. Stop writing words. Words are not expressive enough in 2020. Maybe in 1990, words are expressive. But in 2020, to be unique, you must make videos, because that is the medium that gets the most attention. So the medium, choose videos. Don't choose text. Don't choose pictures. Don't choose a platform that doesn't work for you. Most likely, YouTube doesn't work for you. Choose Facebook. And that's really the two main things I would tell people, like practical, how do you get attention? Those are the two main ways.
Yeah. So you mentioned sort of early on, like, you know, sort of the anger that you had was a lot of what, you know, seeded this mission. And when I look at some of the great inequalities of travel, you have strength of passport, and you mentioned like Bangladesh. Yes. I looked it up while you guys were speaking. Bangladesh has one of the worst strengths of passports. Bangladeshis can get into around 40 countries around the world visa free. And so for people that, you know, don't have a Japanese or US or EU passport, but really want to make sure they're able to go see the world, what advice do you potentially have for them to, I guess, find the access that they're looking for?
I would like to answer that, but I don't know how that feels. I can only say things that I know how it feels to be that. I have an Israeli passport. It's a very strong passport. So I never really had to suffer from that problem. It's kind of like me giving advice to someone on how to give birth to a kid. Well, I literally, it's impossible for me to give birth. So I don't know how it feels like. So I cannot give advice, but my fingers are crossed and I'm rooting for you, you know?
fair enough. To go to a straight up content question, what do you do to edit video? And do you kind of have, like, for anybody who's trying to get started, almost like a, here's the things you should pull off the shelf that's going to make you most effective?
I use Final Cut Pro. The reason for that is because it's much, much simpler than Premiere, and it's better to use the Apple ecosystem than the Windows ecosystem. Windows is just a bunch of jumbo. Apple is like communism. It's like, this is where you can build your video. This is where you can do this. This is where you can do this. And it's a lot more organized. So, by the way, I don't support communism, but I'm saying they built a communist ecosystem. it's like central control. So what I would say is use Apple if you can afford it. Use Final Cut Pro. Choose 10 songs that you have. Choose the same frame. Like, use the same subtitles. Never change the subtitles. Never change the beginning music. Never change the look and feel of the video. Just be consistent. If you look at the Apple emails, they all look the same. The Apple products, they all look the same. The Nas Daily videos, they all look the same. And I think it's very important if you want to establish like a brand in a way. So that would be my two practical advices. Final Cut Pro. For a camera, you can use your phone, but take it a bit more seriously. So probably use like a $500 or $700 DSLR. That's how I started. Get a microphone. Audio is incredibly important. The first 150 days of Nas Daily, I had no microphone. Insane. Get a microphone. And that's it.
Yeah, I think there's also the practical advisors. If you're always reinventing your intro or branding, that's just subtracting time from doing the thing that yes. you really need to do, and that's tell great stories. And it's like, you know, Connor and I both talk about this, but you know, being an entrepreneur, you talk to a lot of people about their businesses, and so many people get blocked on day one because they're like, I don't have a logo. And my thought to them is like, you will never need one if that is what's blocking you today.
Right.
So, okay. Exactly. Last question that I'll ask you. So going back to sort of the two-legged beast of attention versus money, you know, if you need to get to 1 million people to even start to have a fighting chance to make any kind of money, you know, for most people, they're going to need some way to make income along the way. Did you do, or do you recommend, or seen anybody who has successfully like had some good side hustles while traveling that gave them the liquidity they needed early on to get to that next stage?
That's what happened to me, right? On day 12, I was in Kenya, and I made a video about Kenya, and then some Russian company saw that video, and they were like, we have a media company in Nigeria, and we need your help to make the videos. Would you help us? And I said, it can't go on my channel, but I'd be gladly consulting to help you create content in Nigeria. And then it said, how much do you want? I said, I want $3,000 a month. And they said, yes. And thank God they said yes, because that $3,000 is essentially what kind of helped me feel a little bit more secure. On day 20, someone reached out, says, I'm a documentary guy. I saw you have a drone in Kenya. I would like to use your drone for one day to get these shots. Here's $200. And I did that. You know, on day 50, you know, you get from your, in Israel, someone says, I have a hostel and I would like you to make a video for it. So the side hustles and the side gigs were always part of Nas Daily until this very day. And the reason I do them is because it's a great way to make money without diluting your audience. So highly advise, definitely take them, but don't make it take too much of your time. So at all times, the side hustles took less than 20% of my time, never more. If it takes more than 20% of your time, then you're a freelancer, you're not a video maker. And I think that's very important to distinguish.
It's no longer a side hustle. It is just literally what you are hustling on.
Exactly.
All right. So very, very last question for you. You know, obviously the world right now is in strange times, and you know, you're known for spending a lot of time traveling. And you know, right now we're all sort of within our own four walls. Like, how are you traveling from home? What's keeping you motivated? What's keeping you sane? What's keeping you, you know, positive in some direction? Tell us all kind of what it feels like for you right now.
So the sad reality is that I don't think travel will be relevant for another 12 months or so, which means if I make a video right now that is strictly about travel, it will not do well. And I tried it, and they don't do well. People just don't care enough about visiting the Maldives because they cannot go to the Maldives. So in a way, how this affected me, I stopped making purely travel content. One, I can't travel, and two, no one cares about it. Three, I can't complain. I mean, I'm in Singapore, the house is big, so I'm not in a place to complain about quarantine. I'm okay with it. Fourth, I think right now COVID-19 it's an opportunity to create content that is more human. That is, so no one cares about the beach, no one cares about the hotel. Like, tell us about the health worker, or tell us about the waiter that lost their job. And I think that is the content that needs to be created now. And in 12 months, when things pick up again, or maybe 6 months, I hope, then you need to double down on travel, because that's when airlines will need you. Please tell the world that Japan is open for business. Please tell the world that Morocco is now open, and the airlines will come at you. The hotels will come at you. Everybody will want to come at you and say, we need videos to share this message with the world. So that's very important. So prepare for the next 12 months. The explosion will come in 12 months, but until then, it's going to suck.
You heard it here first. To say thank you, I mean, even taking like a quick step back in that, like, you know, so much of what we're doing with this travel from home community is about taking the things that we loved about travel, like the curiosity, the adventure, the meeting people, the smell, the sounds, and trying to realize that, you know, you don't need to always live, you know, flight to flight or trip to trip. You just need to see that in some other way. And, you know, for everything that we've been doing within this community and being able to do events, you know, with people that we all admire like you, you're helping us get out of our house today and being able to watch your videos.
Me too. You're helping me.
And that's why, you know, it's a community in this, is we're all giving ourselves something to dream about, something to stay positive about. And I think, you know, you feel like you know somebody when you watch all their videos, being able to hear you talk and actually hear the story of anger. It also gives a little bit of like motivation that like, you're allowed to be angry about this present, but you're also allowed to think about it, reframe it, and put it in different lights. And that's what we need right now. So from all of us, a genuine thank you. And we're very grateful for your time and spending it with us.
Guys, I only make 1 minute videos because people don't listen to me after 1 minute, especially my girlfriend and my friends. So thank you for listening to me for 1 hour today. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you inviting me over to talk to you. And the commenters were very nice people as well. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, I will give you a piece of data that disagrees, because I have lots of people who just sat here and listened to you very intently for 65 minutes. So
makes me happy.
It was a 60 whatever. Anyway, so everybody who's still here chatting with us, one last message for you before we sign off. Like, everything that we do is by this community for this community. And our whole job and everybody who's contributing is just to think about what gives us things to be joyful about, things to be inspired by. And the way that we do that, frankly, is just by asking you. So if you look right now in chat, I dropped a quick, it literally takes 60-second survey, and it's primarily going to ask you, what should we be doing next? If you have a moment, fill that out. What Conrad and I literally do with that is figure out how to bring it to life. So we appreciate that. To everybody who is here with us, again, a big thank you to Naz, and to everybody else, stay home, stay safe, and until we can travel again, we'll keep traveling from home, and see you all again soon.
Thanks, Naz.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Conrad. Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. Have a great morning, day, night, noon, wherever you are.